Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. The great creator God is called the Father of Lights in James 1, verse 17. God is a dazzlingly, brilliantly beautiful being, and he shines, he sparkles, not just in terms of his appearance, but in his character as well. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury wrote a booklet titled The Epistle of James, and pages 20 and 21 have a subhead called The Father of Lights. Mr. Fleury writes here, "Every good and perfect gift comes from that illustrious God. Look at what he created. Clearly, he has all kinds of gifts to give. When you look at the material creation, you see a lot of shadows. For example, the planets cast shadows, but God is not that way. James says that with him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is brighter than the sun at high noon, 100% light. This is the total opposite of darkness. There isn't a trace of evil in him. The ancient Israelites were led by a fiery pillar cloud. Wherever it went, they followed. If it moved at 3 a.m, they moved with it. They continually looked to that light to lead them, and so should we." This is the great God, the Father of Lights. Mr. Fleury continues here, "Spiritual light should dazzle us a zillion times more than the light from the universe. The big issue is not creating the universe. The big issue is creating the character of God in us to rule the universe. We must cooperate with God, or that can never happen. We must desire and choose to build his character in us, or it can't be done. Nothing but good gifts come from the Father." The universe is remarkable. It is outstanding. We have been blessed to witness so much of the universe, thanks to the Hubble and James Webb telescopes. And we have seen the heavenly lights designed by the Father of Lights. And yet Mr. Fleury is saying here in the James booklet that the light God is creating in human beings is far brighter. It's far more special. Plus, God is going to give those lights in the universe to us. We will rule the universe. That is the incredible human potential. All the gifts that God gives us light up our lives. Just consider all the gifts of the Father of Lights. He offers us his Holy Spirit, which is his mind, his power, his life. The Father of Lights gives us his truth, his law, revelation, prophecy, the right understanding of history, blessings, miracles. God is lighting up our lives like a 4th of July fireworks show. And that is an incredible blessing. God has always intended to bring light to the entire earth and then to the universe. not just physical light, but spiritual light. The expansion of God's law and government everywhere. God even created a light bringer named Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 12 calls Lucifer the son of the morning. Lucifer is as bright as a new day, a cloudless sky. And yet, Lucifer is no longer Lucifer. He is Satan. And he does not shine spiritual light anymore. In fact, he causes darkness to cover the entire earth. He is blinding mankind to God's truth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Lucifer had an opportunity to shine God's light here on earth, along with the angels under him, and they all failed. That is why humans now must do that job. We have a God-given responsibility to be light bringers. And really, that is what God's work is all about today. Shining a light to the entire world. That is the example Jesus Christ set for us. John 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Christ came to earth. He was here for 33 and a half years, shining God's spiritual light. The perfect embodiment of God's law of love in action and teaching God's wonderful truth, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Yet the world of darkness did not accept the light of Christ. Christ's example, though, is to shine a light to the world, even if they reject it. Notice here Christ's own instruction to us in Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Mr. Fleury writes in his free booklet, available to you at thetrumpet.com, The God Family Vision, "Just as it takes energy and power to make an electrical light shine, it takes spiritual energy, the power of God, and real effort to make this spiritual light shine in your life. For us, spiritual energy and power comes from God's Holy Spirit, and we must work every day to build more of that power in our lives. But that takes effort. That takes a lot of prayer. That takes Bible study. That takes real active support of God's work so that we are full of light. So we are setting a righteous example for the entire world. So that we are helping get God's warning message, his message of hope, out to the world. We have to be the light of the world as we do God's work. In the January-February 2025 Royal Vision, Mr. Fleury wrote about Amos chapter 6. Amos 6 is a disturbing end time prophecy, something we really need to take seriously. Notice here, Amos 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, who are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Mr. Fleury explains in that January-February royal vision that Zion here is God's own church. God says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. You see, these are dangerous times. People are suffering. They need a warning message that the suffering is only going to intensify as time goes on. Yet, the very people who should know better, the very people who should be shining this warning message, are at ease. They're relaxing. They're asleep. The vast majority of God's own church in this end time refuses to shine God's light. Mr. Fleury writes, these people are at ease. That means they rejoice in what lacks substance and reality. It makes no sense. They are in Satan's grip. How terrible for God's own people to forget their purpose. Notice here, Amos 6, verse 6, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Again, we ought to know better. We know God's prophecies of the coming suffering, the coming nuclear annihilation, the great tribulation. And when we know, we have a responsibility to let other people know. God has shined his light into our minds to help us understand prophecies like Amos 6. And we are responsible for sharing that light. Not sitting back and drinking wine, as it says here, distracting ourselves with all kinds of pleasure while the world literally burns. Especially America and Britain, these end time descendants of ancient Israel, quickly on the decline, collapsing just like the ancient Romans. They need a warning message. They have a special history with God and they should know better. Mr. Fleury writes, there is deep affliction in our nations. Family breakdown, drugs, pornography, immorality, indebtedness, unchecked immigration, violence, and crime. We should be grieving for this affliction, the moral and spiritual shattering and destruction. But even as our nations fall apart, most people are pursuing pleasure and heedlessly living the good life. That is a stunning warning from Mr. Fleury in the Royal Vision. Are we heedlessly living the good life? If you saw a house on fire in your neighborhood, would you just keep walking past as if nothing happened? Or would you run to that house, see if everyone's okay, call the fire department for help? It would be a moral obligation to do so. And yet, how many people in God's own church know the suffering that is coming and are walking right past that burning house, saying nothing, doing nothing? ignoring their moral obligation to warn. Mr. Armstrong had a lot to say about light. Herbert W. Armstrong, the late educator, theologian, humanitarian, the predecessor to the Philadelphia Church of God, the founder of the Worldwide Church of God. Mr. Armstrong said that he was called in a world of darkness to take the light that is in God's word, the Bible, and get it to the world. Mr. Armstrong understood his moral obligation to shine God's spiritual light to the world. He knew that's what he was meant to do. God opened his mind, and it was Mr. Armstrong's job to pass along that spiritual light. Mr. Fleury continued here in the Royal Vision, January, February. Mr. Armstrong was a wonderful example. He was deeply convicted and eager to get this light out to the world, because this is about Christ bringing this world joy and happiness forever. He realized what a wonderful thing it is to have God's light in this dark, evil world. He knew that God wanted him to get this light out there, and he knew how much this world needs that light. He gave himself to that job 100%, and look what he did for God. God's church today is God's royalty, possessing the throne of David, the throne Jesus Christ will sit on. We have a lot of light here, light that we must get to the world. We have the solutions to everything. Reflect on that statement from Mr. Fleury. We have the solutions to everything. That is God's light. That is the way out, the way of escape that the world desperately needs. God refuses to punish before delivering a warning, letting people know what is coming. And God does have a select few people today who he expects to deliver that warning, regardless of whether people will listen. Mr. Fleury continued, can we bring ourselves to Mr. Armstrong's standard? Even though we have some bad news to deliver, we need to be highly motivated to get that light out there. We must show what is coming so that even if they do not respond today, they will repent quickly once they find themselves in the Great Tribulation. This light is so wonderful, so precious. It will stop all the evil in this world. Quite the inspiring vision from Mr. Fleury there. Ultimately, a vision from God about his light. The light that can shine in our lives. The light that we are morally obligated to shine to the world through our personal example, dealing peaceably with all men, upholding God's law, keeping his commandments, and then just supporting God's work to the very fullest, praying hard, praying in detail. We have a book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled How to Pray. And it shows how to pray for God's work in a way that God will listen. Your prayers individually matter. we're not all Mr. Fleury speaking on the Key of David, but we all have a responsibility to support him, not to go door to door forcing the truth on anyone, but simply doing our part to make this light available to the largest audience possible. Making the light available to anyone God may be calling, to anyone whose mind God might be opening to understand the truth. It's quite an exciting vision, a motivating vision, knowing that we have a purpose, a goal, a mission so much bigger than ourselves. We have a light to deliver. Again, from that January-February Royal Vision, Mr. Fleury writes, "Always remember the positive outcome of all that is about to happen. Remember how Mr. Armstrong kept the vision of God's light clear in his mind. He was driven to get that light out to this dark, evil world. That is what we must be doing. Keep this vision vividly in your mind." Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.